Thanks for joining us and listening to this sermon from Pompey Community Church. Our desire is that you can hear the Word of God and the Gospel preached wherever you are right now. We pray that this message will lift you up and help you on your journey as you grow closer and closer to Christ.
Pastor John Andrew Clayton and his family arrive here in our community on this Friday. They will be with us next Sunday. He won't be preaching, but he and his family will be here for you to welcome. And we have been preparing for that over the last few weeks by talking really about what does the Bible say about how to care for him and his family as he comes. And this is the last sermon in that short series that I'm doing this morning. And if I was going to give it kind of a longer name, I would say, how can you prevent your pastor from burning out? There is research all over, anywhere you search on the internet, about the subject of pastoral burnout. I came across a poll, a research poll that was done just last fall of 2023, that was done by the Hartford Institute for Religion Research, and they found that of the pastors they'd surveyed, more than 40%, so you line up five pastors, this is two out of those five, more than 40% of the pastors surveyed said they have seriously considered leaving their churches at least once since 2020. And more than half of those, that 40%, said they thought about seriously leaving the ministry. There are factors that they identified, but most of them identified pastoral burnout as a major factor, a becoming exhausted by the increasing burden that they feel put on them by the congregation's expectations, their own expectations, and being pulled in too many directions all at once. And I don't need to remind you, if you've been here more than a couple of years, that Pompey Community Church is no stranger to this. That Pastor Wendell certainly has expressed to this congregation when he was here periods where he was reaching or at the point of pastoral burnout. So it's a very relevant topic, I think. As you welcome your new lead pastor, I want you to already be thinking now about how you can help prevent pastoral burnout. There's obviously a lot of factors that go into pastoral burnout, but I find one common one, one I've certainly had to wrestle through myself, one I see in other pastors who are wrestling with pastoral burnout, and that's overfunctioning. Overfunctioning happens when a person, like a pastor, takes on increasing amounts of responsibility for the functioning of other people. Responsibility they really shouldn't take on themselves. It's responsibility that belongs to other people, but they take it on themselves. And it might not surprise you that most pastors, especially lead pastors, are overfunctioners. The longer that they are at their church, the more and more responsibilities they take upon themselves, including responsibilities for things in the church that other people really should be responsible for. And many churches, and I suspect this has been true of Pompey Community Church, unwittingly nurture their pastors' overfunctioning tendencies. In fact, when we think of pastors, we seem to regard overfunctioning behavior as evidence that they're committed and that they're a caring pastor. But here's the reality. Overfunctioning is not good for the pastor. It can lead to burnout, but it's not good for anyone else in the congregation. The more a pastor overfunctions in the church, the more everyone else around him does less and less. And as they do less and less, he does more and more, and it becomes this vicious circle. So it is vital that we understand, as you welcome a new pastor, what he is biblically responsible for. And that you, as a congregation, you determine, you know, we're gonna keep the right responsibility on him, and we're gonna take the responsibility that belongs on us upon ourselves. And the only place in Scripture that I really see that responsibility defined, in other words, if I was gonna tell you, go to this place in the Scripture to find a pastor's job description, or at least a primary job description, this would be the passage. It's Ephesians 4, 7 through 12. It's, by the way, one of the few places in Scripture that actually mentions pastor-teacher, what we think of today as our biblical pastor. So let me read this to you today. Let me read you this text. I'm going to be focusing especially on the first and the last couple verses, but I will read you the whole passage so you get the flow of it. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So particularly that last verse, verse 12, the pastor's primary job description is given to us. But first we need to understand the flow of Paul's teaching here so we can see how it gets there. So I want to start back briefly in verse 7. In verse 7, he speaks to all of us. In verse 7, he's speaking to you this morning. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling you that when you became a believer, you not only received saving grace, God or Christ also gave you gifts of grace. In other words, working through his Holy Spirit, he gave you, when you were saved, certain gifts, grace gifts. In fact, grace and gift in the New Testament, they come from the same Greek word, charisma or charis. He gave you these gifts. These are spiritual abilities to serve him in the way that you don't naturally have the ability to do. All of you, I'm sure, have some degree of human abilities and human talents. This is a whole nother level. This is serving Christ in a way that you could not do if Christ was not in your life. And that's true of every believer. That's what we see. Grace was given to each of us. There's not one of you sitting here today who have Christ in your life who have not been given these grace gifts, some measure of these grace gifts. I admit, you may not know what those grace gifts are. You may have only a fuzzy understanding of that. You may need help in discovering what your gifts are and developing your gifts. But here's the truth. They are there within you. And you are uniquely gifted. Not one of us has the same combination of spiritual giftedness. Romans 12:6 emphasizes this. It says almost the same as Ephesians 4:7 here. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And I may look at somebody else and I may say, well, I want their gifts. I wish I had that set of gifts. But the reality is God knew what I needed and God knew how he wanted to use me in his kingdom. And so he uniquely, sovereignly designed the combination of gifts that he's given to me. And the same is true of every one of you. Now, if you want to know what these gifts are, that's not for today, but two passages that you might go to. Romans chapter 12 lists some different spiritual gifts that Jesus Christ gives. 1 Corinthians 12 lists some of those gifts. And you can look through those. And again, each of us have a unique combination of those gifts. None of us have the same gifting. And even if you want different gifts than you have, it is Christ who sovereignly determined the unique combination that you have. That's the meaning of the phrase, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ gave you the spiritual gifts that you have in a measure, a unique combination that he sovereignly determined. First of all, that would be best for you and your sanctification. And secondly, what would be sovereignly best for his body, the church. Now, we'll get to why Christ gives us these spiritual gifts when we get to verse 12, but right now, it's important for you to understand that every believer in this church has been given a unique combination of spiritual gifts. And the corollary of that is that this church needs your unique spiritual gifts. The church is not functioning fully if only certain people are using their spiritual gifts. In other words, here's how I put it. Church is supposed to be an every member ministry. Every member discovering, developing, and deploying their spiritual gifts for the work of ministry to serve the church and to serve Christ's kingdom. But the reality in this church, in every church, I'm not picking on Pompey here, the reality in every church is not what we would describe as an every member ministry, is it? You've been to other churches. You've probably seen this experience much like here. Does every believer here use their gifts to minister? Well, I suspect that some people here, some of you, don't even know that you've been given spiritual gifts. This might even be news to you this morning, but probably more likely than not, more of you do know that you've been given spiritual gifts, but you're not clear on what your spiritual gifts are. So certainly you can't use your spiritual gifts if you don't even know what they are. Some of you may have an inkling of what your spiritual gifts are. You may have taken some kind of inventory that helped you identify them, or more mature believers may have identified the gifts that they think that you have. So you may have some understanding of that, but you may need help in developing those gifts. They're like gifts in the raw, talent in the raw. You may need help and encouragement learning to use your gifts. There may even be some of you here this morning who think that only certain people with certain gifts should be doing the ministry work of the church. You know, you may not say it in this way, but you may have some thinking along these lines. Well, isn't that what we hire a pastor for? To do the work of ministry? Isn't that what we look for in a pastor's gifting? Well, think in your head, which category do you fall into? Do you know that you've been given spiritual gifts? Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Do you need help in developing your gifts and learning to use them? Or do you fall in that last category? Do you think that ministry is supposed to be done only by certain people with certain gifts? Well, this brings me back to the topic of burnout. While it is possible for an overfunctioning pastor to accomplish a great deal of ministry in the church, that not only risks burning out the pastor, but it contradicts this principle of every member ministry, of every member discovering and developing and deploying their gifts to do the work of ministry. So how does a church like Pompey Community Church pursue this every member ministry? I mean, if some of you don't know what your gifts are, and many of you probably say, well, I have an inkling of what they are, but I need help to develop and learn to use them. Where do we even begin? Well, that's verse 11. Christ has provided a way for us to do this by giving some unique gifts to the church at large, and that indirectly benefit every local church like Pompey Community Church. And that's what Paul says here. He, Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the first three. I'm going to focus on the last two, but let me just briefly touch on the first couple. I understand apostles and prophets in the sense we have them in the New Testament. In other words, the apostles were the big A apostles. They were the men who were directly connected with the historical Jesus. They walked with him as his disciples. They heard his teaching. They were trained by him to launch the church. And they're the ones that eventually wrote the books that we now have that make up our New Testament, the canon of the New Testament scriptures. There are no big A apostles today, but their legacy, their ministry to us continues in what we have in the New Testament. prophets, that's not describing prophets like you see in the Old Testament, but the kind of prophet we see in the New Testament. Before the canon, before that we had the books of the New Testament scripture that were given to us when they were still in the process of being writing and collecting, God used men, and I think even some women, as prophets to receive and declare the word of God under divine inspiration of the Spirit and communicate it to the churches. It's one of the ways God spoke his truth after Christ ascended, but before we had the New Testament. So after the inspired books the apostles wrote were all collected and brought together, and what we have is the New Testament, the purpose of the prophets and of the apostles was fulfilled. Now, when you read this, when I read this in verse 11, he's given us the apostles and prophets. That's the Bible. That's the New Testament that you hold in your hand. God speaks to us now through the New Testament. So this part of the gift to the church is not the living apostles and prophets. It's the product of the apostles and prophets, the New Testament. That's how God speaks in the church today. Evangelists, that's a tough one. That word is used only two other places in the New Testament, so we don't have a precise definition of this gift. Evangelists were probably those whom God had especially equipped to travel from place to place with the gospel. They were uniquely gifted by God to share the good news of how God saves us from sin, from our sin through Jesus Christ. So that's the first three. Now I want to move on to where I'm really going here today, the pastors and teachers. It's these last two gifts that are particularly relevant to the question of how a church like Pompey Community Church pursues every member ministry. You know, the first three offices, they stand on their own. They're different offices. These last two, they even in the grammar that Paul uses here, they come together. They're linked with this pastors and teachers in a way in the Greek grammar that we can't see here in the English. They're linked together, but they don't necessarily describe exactly identical groups. What they describe is what I would say is two overlapping functions. So pastor, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, comes from the Greek word that's translated as shepherd. Think of the image of a church as a flock of sheep. And with that in mind, the pastor, the shepherd, is the one who has the responsibility to feed the flock with spiritual food, to lead the flock to where they should be going, particularly in ministry, to protect the flock against predators, against false teachers. Teacher describes the responsibility of communicating the Word of God to the church in a way that fulfills 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So every pastor must be, in some sense, able to teach, but some pastors are going to really have the gift of teaching. And so you can see there's some overlap here. You know, there are going to be some men who are better suited to shepherding. There's going to be some men who are better suited to teaching. And Christ is the one that determines in any local church like Pompey Community Church, what is that person or those people going to look like? So how do these gifts that Christ give to the church, especially this gift of pastors and teachers, how does that help Pompey Community Church pursue every member ministry? Well, that's verse 12. He, Christ, gave the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. The word for equipped, again, it's a word we try and figure out what is he saying by looking at where else it's used in the New Testament. It's used once in Matthew chapter 4 to describe how fishing nets with holes in it, it's kind of how you address that hole and you make that net whole again. You repair that net, you strengthen that net. It's used in 1 Thessalonians 3:10 as to talk about how you see something as lacking, and so you step in to supply that or meet that need. So it indicates to us that the meaning here, as Paul uses it, is pastors and teachers fill in something that we lack. They supply something that we need. They work to repair, renovate, complete something that isn't quite whole. One of the images that one of the commentators used that really resonated with me is they're outfitters. You know what an outfitter is? You're going to go up to the Adirondacks and you're going to go on a several day canoeing trip. And maybe you've canoed once when you were a kid, but you really don't know what you're doing and you certainly don't have the gear, but you really want to do this. And you want to learn to do it well. Well, what do? Do you buy a canoe at Walmart and just launch out? No, you find an outfitter. And there are many of those up there. I for many years was in Minnesota and went with outfitters on the Boundary Waters canoe area. What do outfitters do? That this is the gear that you need, and they supply you with the gear that you need. This is how you paddle a canoe. This is what you do if it rains. This is how you camp for the night, and then they go along with you. And so they supply you, they supply the need, they show you how to do what you need to do. They go along with you, and they do it along with you. Equipping is outfitting. And by the way, just before I come back to equip the saints. You know, if you've come from a Catholic background, that term might have connotations that are not meant in this passage. If you are a believer, you are a saint, all right? That doesn't mean your life is perfect. What it means is that's the New Testament term for somebody who Christ is their Savior and their Lord and the Holy Spirit is at work in their life. The New Testament over and over refers to them as saints. So again, here's the picture of equipping. When you experience saving faith in Christ, He fills you with His Holy Spirit. And the Spirit gives you a unique combination of spiritual gifts that Christ has sovereignly decided that you should have. But these gifts need to be developed. And so Christ draws you to a local church like Pompey Community Church. And there in the church, Christ provides you with elders and pastors and teachers whose roles and responsibility it is to help you discover your gifts and then to equip, to outfit you to use those gifts and then to deploy you, to send you out to use those gifts in ministry. You know, some of that, that takes a lot of different forms. There's a certain level of equipping that happens through preaching, but, you know, that's probably not the primary place. It happens through what we call personal discipleship. It happens through leadership training. One example that it's happening on, I think a very excellent example that right now is happening here at Pompey Community Church through the Stephen Ministry training that we're doing. Do you know where that came from? We recognize that our congregational care needs to be in every member ministry. That if everybody depends on the pastor to care for them when they're going through something, that will not only burn out the pastor, but that goes in the opposite direction of this principle of every member ministry. So we said, certainly, there are people who have gifts of compassion and mercy that we just need to identify, and then we need to train them and deploy them to not replace the pastor, but come alongside the pastor and expand out congregational care. And that's what we've done through Stephen Ministry, and that's why that group of people right now who are going through that Stephen Ministry training, you know, that they are fully living into an every member ministry. They are using their gifts, they're developing their gifts, they're getting trained to use their gifts, and through the Stephen Ministry structure, we will deploy them as they're fully trained to provide caring compassionate care to those who are hurting and struggling in our congregation and community. A wonderful example of an equipping ministry. And to the extent that you are open to And avail yourself of this equipping ministry of your pastor teacher. You begin to use your spiritual gifts for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. The church needs you, and you need the body, you need the church. You need the church to help you identify and develop your gifts, and even some structures like Stephen Ministry to deploy you to use your gifts. And the church needs you. The church is not whole. The church is not operating as a whole body without every member using their gifts. So clearly, this equipping ministry must be at the heart of a pastor's job description. And I think this requires a major reset of what we expect from our elders and pastors, particularly the one who's going to fill this pulpit as the lead pastor. Here's a couple thoughts about reset before I finish. The first reset. Your pastor is not your priest. He is your equipper. You know, you may be holding on to, whether you realize it or not, what I would call a pre-Reformation model of what a pastor should be. You know, before the Reformation, you know, when it was pretty much just the Catholic Church, it was real clear you are either part of the clergy or you are part of the laity. You are either a priest or you are one of the masses who funds the clergy and makes the priest ministry possible. And that has really, the legacy of that, even if you don't come from a Catholic background, continues even through the Protestant Reformation. Many of us think in some way, you know, that the pastor is like that priest, that he has some unique gift of grace that nobody else has, that nobody else can duplicate. And so he has a unique ability to do ministry that we must depend upon him. That's pre-Reformation clergy laity thinking. I hate the word laity. I think we ought to banish it from our church vocabulary. Some of you may still be operating with this mindset that your pastor serves in some priestly capacity in the church, that he has abilities to minister in ways that no other mature believer in the church has. Do you see how this puts expectations upon your pastor that push him to overfunction and can cause him to burn out? And it's not just the burnout that we should be concerned about. More importantly, it's not biblical. It works against this New Testament model of every member ministry. Your pastor is not your priest. He's primarily your equipper. Here's the second reset. Pastors are the supply line. Church members are the front line. I mean, that's what it means. This gets to what it means to equip. Pastor teachers are to supply. Remember, that's part of the meaning of equip. They're to supply what you need to live out your faith, your growing faith in the world around you, loving, serving, and witnessing to those who don't know Christ around you. When I became a new believer, I remember I started hearing, I'm supposed to be able to share my faith with other people, that just as somebody was discipling me, teaching me what it means to follow Jesus, I'm supposed to eventually do that. That totally terrified me. I needed somebody to come alongside me and equip me, supply what I need. Well, here's some ways you can do that. Here's some scripture that speaks to that. Here's some books that will be helpful. Come along with me and I'll show you how to do it. That's that idea of pastors being the supply line, but sending us out on the front lines. The front lines being where we work. The front lines being our family, our extended family. The front lines being our friendship circles. Every place where we encounter people who don't know Jesus, who need to hear the gospel, who need to become disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. That's the front lines. If the church's worship, I'm not saying this just about Poppy, I'm saying this about any church. If a church's worship services and sermons and programs just make us feel good when we come, but don't mobilize us to live out our faith in the world, then I would suggest the pastor at the center of that church is failing in his calling to equip the saints to minister. So the test of a healthy church, it's not how many programs it has. It's not how many people come to its special events. The test of a healthy church is how many people it is equipping to serve others, to share the gospel with others, and help others become disciples of Jesus Christ. The third reset. Pastors aren't star players. Pastors are player coaches. We love stars, don't we? We want, you know, if we're really honest deep down, even if we wouldn't admit it, we want a star in our pastor. We want someone that everybody wants to come and hear. We want someone that we can look up to and oh, that was so wonderful this week. He made me feel so good. That is not the model. What we need in our pastors is for them to be player coaches. Do you know what a player coach is? It's rarer and rarer these days. It used to be in more sports. But a player coach is a member of a sports team who both, at the same time, both coaches the team and plays alongside them. I was trying to think of who's the last player coach that I remember, and this goes back a ways, but Bill Russell. Bill Russell, the basketball player in the Boston Celtics. He was the player coach of the Celtics from 1966 to 1969. And during that time, they won two NBA championships. So what did that mean? It meant that certainly he brought his experience and his abilities and passed that on as a coach to the rest of the players and kept them encouraged and showed them how to play better and showed them formations, gave them structure. But he also played alongside them. So during the week, he's coaching them. When the games come, he's out on the floor playing with them. That's the model. Not that star who we all come to see, but, you know, we're all spectators. No, a player coach pastor who coaches his church members in how to live out their faith, how to share the gospel, how to help others become disciples of Jesus. But he's also a player. He leads them out onto the field in doing this. He goes with them to that sporting event that his kids are at. He's out there in the schools. He's where you are. And maybe he's got his own realms out in the world. And you see him modeling this by, you know, well, his kids play soccer and he's there on the coaching soccer because it's a good way for him to connect with unbelieving soccer parents. He is coaching, and he is on the field as a player. And that kind of naturally grafts into the fourth reset. You're not a spectator. You're a player on the field. You know, any church can do incredible things if they bring the right few people that have a lot of talent. But if most people who are part of that church are just spectators, it doesn't matter what they're doing. That is not a healthy church. Why? Because this is the model that Christ has given us. Every one of us is to be discovering and developing and using our gifts to serve, not just a few with some, you know, grouping of what we think are really neat, special gifts. So if a church is not pursuing every member ministry, if this church is not pursuing every member ministry, it isn't aligning with what God tells us here in the text. The measure of a healthy church is how it's mobilizing people for ministry. And again, I just think what we're doing with Stephen Ministry is such a clear, good example of that. So I want to close with a personal challenge here. First of all, those of you who are believers, you may be here and you haven't embraced Christ in your life. He's not the Savior and Lord of your life. This doesn't speak directly to you because you do not yet have the Spirit in your life and you do not have spiritual gifts in your life. But if you know Christ as Savior and Lord, His Spirit fills you and has gifted you, like this text tells us. So here's my first question to you to think about. Do you know what grace gifts that you have? Maybe you don't. I suspect a lot of you don't or aren't clear about that. Those of you who do, or you have some inkling of that, are you using your gifts to minister to others, to serve others? Are you using your gifts in some way? Or do you have a spectator mindset? Secondly, do you expect your pastor, when he comes, to be your priest? Do you look to him as the dispenser of special grace that no other mature believer can give you? When you're in the hospital, does it not count when somebody visits you, somebody from the church, unless it's the pastor? Are you going to put those expectations on your pastor because they're not biblical? Or do you desire for him to equip you? Yeah, you want him to get to know you. You want him to minister to you when you're going through hard times. There is nothing wrong with that. But if you put that above him equipping the saints for the work of ministry, you go back to that issue identified by Vital Church of making your pastor into an idol. So I hope that when I visit the church in years to come, whether this actually appears on the sign or the bulletin or it doesn't, but it really is reflective of what the church is, here's really what I hope to hear about Pompey Community Church, that the lead equipper is John Andrew Clayton, but the ministers are you, the congregation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you not only saved us from sin, but you fill us with your Spirit. And we are so thankful, Lord, that the Spirit gives us a unique combination of gifts. And you determine what they are. You know what is best for us. You work those in, I'm sure, around our human abilities and talents. And then you draw us to particular churches. And you, in a way that only you and your sovereign wisdom could do, you bring together people that have that unique combination of gifting so that the church, at least latently, has all the gifting it needs to carry out the ministry that you desire it to carry. But I know, Lord, in this church, like any church that I've ever been part of, that's yet to be fully realized. And I pray for that here. I pray for these brothers and sisters. I pray that as you bring Pastor John Andrew Clayton here, Lord, that while they may desire many things in him, most of all, they would desire that he would be a biblical pastor by equipping them for the work of ministry. And I pray, Lord, that these brothers and sisters here would desire to discover and develop and use their gifts to serve, to do the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, to be part of the great mission that you have for Pompey Community Church and this community and this world. Lord, only you can do this, and I pray that your Spirit convicts and leads. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast to get all of the PCC sermons and visit us at pompeychurch.org. From everyone here at Pompey Community Church, we hope this sermon blessed you and that you have a great day.